Welcome back to the third in a series. And if you are if you're actually listening to the third in the series, there's a good chance that you've listened to the first, second and third. So we're delighted to have you along, aren't we, Roger Overall?
Yes, we are, Paul O'Mahony.
Yeah, and you have two of us, Toast and Stuff here. But we're carrying on with the consideration of, I summarise, Roger, I think basically Chris Brogan has come up with the idea that calling people friends on the internet space is actually not the right word to call them.
Correct.
I'm chomping at the bit to know what word does Chris Brogan think I ought to call. You see, it's no good talking about you, because you are a real friend, right?
Yes.
You have got flesh and blood, and I'm... But okay, what am I going to call Jane Boyd in Vancouver? I've never physically met her, right? Everything I know about her has been mediated by technology, right?
Yeah. Well,
what am I going to call her?
I would say you would still call Jane a friend. So, because you have had extensive interaction with her. The fact you haven't met her in the physical world doesn't necessarily mean that she's not a friend. Doesn't cut her out of being a friend at all. In fact, I find that, in sociologically speaking, it's very interesting that we are making proper friends online. I'm making good friends at the moment with a guy in Denmark called Greg McQueen. We're developing a project together. We met online. We've never physically met. We may never.
Okay, is Chris Brogan saying that you can call him a friend still?
I would think so, yes.
Okay. Let me pick somebody at random, totally at random. Lesando, I think he's called. He's a real person in the UK.
Yeah.
I have very, very occasionally had a tweet from him and tweeted him. Occasionally I retweet him, right? I have never met him. I've never done any Skyping or anything else with him. You know, he's a... I have quite a lot of people like that. I then have a load of other people who, one day 2 years ago, I decided to follow them, right? And I decided to follow them. I haven't a clue if they're following me, right? I never bothered to check, right? And I've never heard from them.
Yeah. Now you've gone to the other extreme. Purposely so, maybe, which is very good, because actually they would fall outside Chris's new classification.
I want to know what word Chris is using, first of all. You can then explain.
Ally.
Ally, right. So I got certain allies.
Yes, certain allies. So this is Chris's definition of an ally. You've met this person at least once in person and found him or her to be enjoyable. You admire this person professionally, even personally. You want this person to succeed in life and in business.
That's three criteria. Yeah.
Would gladly have a meal, beer, / flirtatious repartee with this person should the opportunity arrive.
Go on.
You're not likely to help them move their sofa anytime soon.
Okay.
Probably won't remember their children's names. Would gladly wish them happy birthday. Facebook reminds you that it's their birthday, but you wouldn't know this offhand.
Oh, I got quite a few of those.
I think that goes for most people, including your friends. Certainly goes for my friends.
In fact, if Facebook closed down all of its functionality, the one I really want them to keep is birthday reminders. To me, that's the most useful thing at all, I have to admit.
Yes, that's a very good one. But you get a sense of what
does he say? Does he say things like, you'd recommend somebody else to invite this person to dinner?
No, he doesn't.
Okay.
But he's giving you a sense. I mean, it's not a strict definition.
Yeah. But he's actually saying, here's several things, and each person will have a different...
Exactly.
Collection of things, right?
So you're building a group of people. So you have this group of allies who are warm towards you, but do not necessarily need to hear from you constantly, and don't need to be.
Do they have to be warm towards me, or is it me being warm towards them?
That's a very good question, actually. I suppose this is from his point of view. Well, no, there must be a reciprocation, I would have thought.
Well, I can be very warm towards somebody who actually doesn't even know I exist, to be honest. Mm. I do have people who I really admire, and frankly, take Mitch Joel, right? I think Mitch Joel is great, right? Now, he did one good thing for me once in my life, and that's another story which we probably touched on before, but Mitch Joel doesn't know I exist, right? I think he's really good. Mm-hmm. I like his content. I occasionally drop into it, and he is... because one incident happened once a long time ago, a very positive experience, he'll always be in a special category in my life. Okay, let's not get too technical about this. What we're trying to do is to share with people the idea that you should actually think about what all of this stuff really means.
And from my point of view, and bringing it back to who you follow and who you don't follow, etc., etc., this gives you, I think, a very useful tool, because he makes the point as well, does Chris, that having a lot of so-called friends or followers or whatever you're going to call them actually works against you on a lot of social media platforms.
Oh, go on to that, because everybody thinks the opposite. Everybody thinks the more followers I've got, the more likes I've got, the more quantity I've got, the stronger I am.
Yeah.
And I go on, tell me what Chris Brogan says against that point of view.
The point of view you're making, which in a way comes from this concept of social proof, that if you've got a lot of people following you, it must be worthwhile. But bear in mind that if you've got a lot of people following you and their only explicit reason for following you is that you follow them back, then actually that's a completely twisted matrix, completely twisted criteria.
But all sorts of other people don't know that that's the case, and you're presenting an image to the outside world as if you're very influential.
Yes, absolutely.
So is Chris saying that that's not a good thing?
He's saying that that is not a good thing.
To have a house built on a house of cards or whatever you call it?
Well, it is pretty much.
The foundation is absolutely... Because you could be exposed as you've got all these followers, but you've never interacted with any of them ever.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, it's a bit like having a massive number of people linked to you on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Right? But that's the thing I have struggled with. I'll be very kind towards LinkedIn because I actually intend to use it in future, right? But the reason I have not ever loved LinkedIn is that I can never tell if I go to your LinkedIn profile and I see that you're connected with 1,000 people. I can never tell which are the really deep connections and which are the absolutely superficial, so-and-so asked me to connect with them, and you don't even know that person.
No, and that's a very good point that you raise, and I'm guilty of this as well. I have people I have good connections with, I have people that I go through the list and I think, how on earth am I connected with this person? I've never met them, I don't know. Now, LinkedIn is a very good example, because how then can I help you if you don't even know how strong my relationships are? If I were to say to you, Paul, check my LinkedIn connections. Every single person there, I know, I can pick up the phone, I can email, I'm in contact with
them. You would be different from everybody else.
Yes, but then...
I don't trust anyone's LinkedIn, to be blunt.
No.
I don't trust anyone's LinkedIn. I don't even trust my own.
Yeah, well, no, right?
Because I have not gone through them and called... Now, I don't... I will not let somebody on LinkedIn connect with me unless I can remember where I met them.
Yeah, and I'm going to...
That means some people, unfortunately, who I had great times with, I've forgotten, have been unlinked with.
Yeah. I think it's a very good point, and it's a very good... why do we add all these people? We add these people because we fear, you know, the big number makes us feel good, but actually the big number is working against us. Let me just read you an excerpt here. Because I'm followed by over 214,000 people on Twitter, and because I'm a bit of a blabbermouth, I tweet more than 3 times a day. Chris, if you're listening to this, that is not being a blabbermouth. Because if being a blabbermouth is 3 tweets a day, Lord knows what that makes Paul.
Well, if somebody asks me, I'd say, well, my average is, I don't know. What do you think my average is?
I have no idea. I would say 2 dozen at the very least.
No, my average has got to be 40.
Yeah, so, you know,
it's easy to work out, but I would say my average is 40. But anyway.
Anyway.
I'm not recommending that to anybody else, by the way.
So according to Chris, 214,000 people and tweeting around 3 times a day puts him in a special distribution category that Twitter has created for blabbermouths like him. Which means that his data goes out at various times of the day, not all at once. So he's being treated differently on Twitter than...
So they will schedule his tweets for him, will they?
No,
I have to go into Hootsuite if I ever schedule, which I do very occasionally.
Oh, no, that's you deciding when they're going to be...
Yes.
This is Twitter deciding when they're going to go out.
You mean Twitter would do this for me if I was like Chris Brogan?
Yeah, but you'd have no control when your tweets went out.
I, I might not mind that, actually. I might not mind that. No. How do I get 240,000 followers to get into that category, Roger?
I don't
have that many followers.
Anyway, look, coming back to this notion of allies and then...
Will you read me another piece of Chris Brogan, please? Another bit of his email. Just read it out. I feel we're hearing too much of ourselves, and I want to hear more of Chris Brogan.
More of Chris Brogan.
Yeah.
Okay. People of Earth. People of Earth.
You talk away.
People
Excuse
of Earth.
Me. Hello?
Here is your permission to slip.
Hello? Sorry?
You don't have to...
Can I have more coffee, please?
You don't have to, and this is in bold, you don't have to follow / circle / friend / like / whatever else any social network concocts, anyone you don't feel like following closely. There you are. You have permission from Chris Brogan, one of the most influential online marketing usage presence gurus, to not follow every single person who decides they're going to follow you. You decide who you're going to follow, and the criteria really should be how useful information that these people are putting online. In fact, you don't even need to follow your best friend, because if your best friend online isn't giving you what you want or useful information, well, you could unfollow them. Why not?
I have to tell you, I a small thing at this point comes to my mind, which is that I have advised people not to follow me. I've said to people coming onto Twitter at the beginning, who said, "What's this Twitter thing about?" And I've had conversations with them as a result of that conversation, or during that conversation, they say, "Wow, this is just what I need." And I've said, "Look, piece of advice, don't follow me," right? And the reason is that if you follow me, your Twitter stream is going to be full up with this guy, and you won't see anybody else's tweets, right? So I said, what you should do with me is don't follow me, right, until you follow loads of other people, mm-hmm. right? And especially other people who tweet quite a lot. Just put me into a list, and I'll show you how to handle lists. Now, this isn't the subject of our conversation today, but I've told people, don't follow me, but put me in a list. Mm. And actually, even better, put me in a list of one, which means that the only time you'll see my tweets are when you want to connect with me, right? I will not interfere with your life. You will be in total control, right? The only place Omani blog will ever pop up is when you decide, now is Omani blog time, bang.
That's interesting.
A list of one.
A list of one.
And that means that you can have every single one of my tweets if you want to, right? Mm-hmm. Or you can have, but you know exactly where I am. And anyway, that is a handy thing to do.
Well, but also to actually do that, you're going to, and this actually, look, brings me beautifully to a paragraph, because there might be a lot of people listening to this going, well, you know, my whole strategy for building up the number of people following me is to follow them and hope that they follow me back. I'm now listening to you, and I understand actually that that's maybe not the best thing to be doing.
It works, though.
It works.
There are people out there selling that strategy.
Oh yeah, but actually, why are you doing that? Why do you want all those random followers? Why do you want all those people following you? What is the?
Because you're sad. You're sad. You're probably doing all sorts of weird other things in your life as well that you haven't thought through. Thanks a million.
You're very welcome. Would you like to have anything else?
I'm fine.
No,
you're
good.
Thank you.
Imagine you die, right? And then your executors of your will or whatever decide, what are we going to do with this person's online contacts? They have 100,000 Twitter followers, right?
Mm-hmm.
These people must be people who are connected with, right?
Mm-hmm.
We think we better contact every one of them and tell them that you've died, right? Imagine the job you're giving them. Now, the fact is, you've never, ever had any contact with these people, right? And nobody knows, among that 100,000 followers you've got, which are the 16 who you had contact with on a daily basis, and were the only people you really were interested in. All the rest were fraught, right? You're the people dealing with your life after you've died have got a big problem.
Have you thereby introduced a social a criteria by which you should add people you want to follow?
That's a good point.
I'd like to know that when I die that I have died.
Yes, actually that's a good one.
No, it isn't, because that's presuming they want to know you've died. Don't forget, you're following them for the information they're giving you.
Oh, sorry, yeah. All the people that follow me. Oh, look, this is too complicated for a off the table of a thing. But when I die, there are actually some people. There are some people I wouldn't like to discover 6 months after I've died that I died.
Yes.
Right? Because I would think that if I found out that you died, for example, that you died 3 weeks ago, and nobody told me. I would be very, 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 very upset, right? And you must have some people like that too.
Well,
right?
It is an interesting point. Completely off topic. Is there? Yes, but it is an interesting point, isn't it? Give us some feedback on that one. Listen, let me just read what I was going. Oh, I've lost it now. Can you believe it?
He's using an iPhone. He's scrolling down while he's finding the bit he wants to read.
Here we go. So we were actually going to give people who are listening going, well, my tactic for building my number of people following me is to follow them and hope they follow me back. Okay, Chris's advice. To be followed, be of value and interesting. That's an interesting and, actually. We'll talk about that in a minute. I can tell you this without doubt. If you create interesting information that is mostly unique and original, and if your information is often of value to someone, you will be found and followed. You will not be swarmed by millions, but you will be found and followed. And this is an important start. This is how I started. And you'll be found and followed, more importantly, and this is me, Roger, adding this on, by people who want to follow you, have a desire to follow you, and people who will gradually, possibly, grow into allies, will want to help you, will want to. So, anyway, but it's this word "and" be of value and interesting, because it's not good enough then to just give value. Now, isn't that interesting?
Well, there is a particular person I'm thinking of who seems to do nothing but tweet links. Now, the links are of great value.
Yes.
Right? They are great value, and I can think of nobody who, no other individual who tweets such a stream of links about strategic stuff, right? Big picture stuff that I'm very, very interested in. But that individual is totally and utterly uninteresting, right? They have no personality. I haven't a clue what they're like. I don't know anything about them. I don't know the difference between them and a bot, right? I don't know the difference, right? Except that this particular person does have a name and does have a location, right? Now, okay, I could change that. Because I can go in and send them an email and say, by the way, you know, I'd want to know, or I could go to their website and dig around, or I could go to their Google Plus and see what kind of a profile they have there, right? And I can't even remember, but I am not interested enough in them to do any of that, right? But they are a great source. And I go to them, they're in my pet tweeters collection.
But then they've almost circumvented the issue there, because to my mind, I think I find that fascinating that you could actually be pumping out value and not be useful to anybody because they don't find you interesting. Now, he's actually got round that because you've got them in a particular list. You're actively following their links.
He's useful.
Yes.
He's definitely useful to me.
But what the point Chris is making is that to succeed, you need to be both. You need to be valuable, offer value, but make it interesting as well.
Well, there's two things there. Make it interesting. And be interesting yourself. Now there's a difference. I want to know, is there a distinction between those two? Because they certainly are two different things.
Yes, they are. And which one does he, what does he say? To be followed, be of value and interesting. So be interesting.
So you as a person have to be an interesting person. Yeah, I mean, I know that. I mean,
as we're recording this, we're abseiling down the side of Cork's tallest building. We have 20 seconds remaining, Paul.
Have we? Are we running out of time? Oh my God, this is, we did not intend to be so long. Okay, I give you the last point, Roger.
The last point, I don't have one. I've got to come up with one
The last point is we will continue, and in our next one, which will be our last audio boo, you'll get something of immense value.